League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Now, there's been a lot of press and a lot of TV shows recently, Panorama covered it, about the thorny issue of smart motorways, or so-called smart motorways, in the United Kingdom. Simon Williams is the media relations manager of the RAC, and he's with us, I'm delighted to say, to discuss it. Morning, Simon.
Good morning.
Wow. For us here in Spain, this is something that we've only ever seen, in the press and on the TV. They've not hit Spain yet, I'm delighted to say, because they don't look like they're that smart at all to me. What are they exactly?
Smart motorways began back in 2006 as a trial on the M42 near Birmingham, and it involved opening the hard shoulder at busy times to running traffic. And in place of the hard shoulder, they constructed emergency refuge areas between every, you know, between 500 and 800 metres apart, so probably an average of 600 metres apart. So if you broke down, you had a chance of actually reaching one of these refuge areas. Also, they constructed gantries over the motorway with variable speed signs on there, all mandatory speed limits, and there was a very high level of CCTV. So operators at Highways England, Highways Agency then, could monitor what was going on. And then what's happened over the years, that was proved to be a very safe scheme. Obviously, the hard shoulder was still there a lot of the time during the day,
yep.
But at busy times, cars are running on it.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, schemes were rolled out. I'm sitting in the REC building at Bristol on the edge of the M5 and the M4, and they constructed another one of those, as they became known, managed motorways.
Right.
They've had several different names over the years. But what happened with the scheme outside of our building is that the emergency refuge areas got further apart, and so did the gantries.
Mm.
So it's harder to see the speed limits. It's harder to see whether one of the lanes is closed. If the lane is closed, a big red X is put up on the gantries overhead. So it's pretty obvious that lane is closed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, without any consultation whatsoever, The Highways Agency changed from dynamic hard shoulder smart, managed motorways into something called all lanes running, where the hard shoulder is permanently removed.
Wow.
And is a running lane for traffic all the time. And lo and behold, the refuge areas didn't get any closer together. They got further apart. They're now up to a mile and a half apart, 2.5 kilometres. We've been very vocal here at the RAC that we were never in favour of all-lane running. We actually gave evidence to the Transport Select Committee,
yeah,
which heard evidence from other breakdown organisations, police, fire, etc. And everyone was unanimously against all-lane running. Now, all of a sudden, as a result of Panorama, Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, said we have a problem with confusion of different types of smart motorway. The all-lane running, the dynamic hard shoulder, and there's a third form, which you see on the M25 quite a lot, which is just a controlled motorway where you have a variable speed limit, but you still have a hard shoulder, which is a pretty good thing because you're just controlling the speed officially.
Yep.
But Grant Shapps said that he wanted to see just one format, and that should be all-lane running. Now, we have a massive issue with that because we think all-lane running is the worst combination of all of these smart motorways.
Absolutely. It's worth pointing out that Sir Mike Penning was the former government minister who approved the rollout of the smart motorways back in 2010 after the successful pilot you talked about. And he has now come out against this and said that they're endangering people's lives. There are people being killed and seriously injured. It should never have happened. That's quite a damning condemnation from the guy who approved it.
It is, but obviously he approved the original one on the M42, the dynamic hard shoulder scheme, which we've always been very much in favour of that, because it gives our patrols who work at the roadside somewhere to actually work on a vehicle.
Absolutely.
But if an accident or if a breakdown happens in a live running lane on a smart motorway, we can't or we won't attend that until the police have got there, or the Highways England traffic officers are there, or the person actually, if the person actually makes it to one of these refuge areas, yes, we can attend. But otherwise, it's not safe for us to attend, and obviously that puts everyone in danger, and obviously anyone who breaks down is naturally at risk, breaking down in a live lane. And we've had, unfortunately, far too many incidences of people actually being struck. Yeah. And lots of near misses, as anyone who saw Panorama will have seen from some of the footage shown there.
Absolutely. So from a practical sense, you've got the inside lane no longer being a hard shoulder, so you have no refuge. So your car splutters to a halt in the outside lane. You crawl across two lanes of traffic. Normally, you'd make it to the hard shoulder as close as you possibly could without worrying about emergency areas. And you'd stop the vehicle, and you would not have somebody hammering up behind you at 70 miles an hour. But in this case, that's absolutely what you've got. So you're relying on the people behind you to spot you immediately, aren't you?
Yeah, so the other point that's worth mentioning is that obviously you have the variable message signs above, and they obviously put a red X up as soon as a vehicle is spotted. But obviously there is a time delay, something like 17 minutes or so before on average, before you're spotted. Something else that we've been calling for, and Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, has said this will happen within 3 years now, is stopped vehicle technology, which is radar-based.
Yep.
And this is being only used on two of all of the hundreds and hundreds of miles of smart motorways. It's only being used on two stretches of the M25.
Yeah.
Now, this obviously will automatically detect the vehicle stopped and change it to the put the red X symbol up.
Okay.
But then, of course, you're reliant on people obeying the red X. We know quite a lot of people don't, certainly from experience. And so we've been calling for the red X to be enforced via camera. And lo and behold, about 2 weeks ago on our stretch outside the office in Bristol, there was a sign that went up saying red X enforced, which is good news, because drivers should be punished for going under the red X, because lives will be in danger.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing, because of the dynamic hard shoulder, obviously I drive on this our stretch every day to get to work, and you know, 9 times out of 10 the hard shoulder is open to running traffic. But of course a lot of people will just get in onto the hard shoulder every day, even though sometimes it's not actually open, because that's kind of what's happened due to habit.
Wow.
Now that's probably the one downside of the dynamic hard shoulder smart motorway, because it does kind of this kind of creature of habit situation happens where you just use it when it isn't actually open. So we think the red X should constantly be displayed, because you know everyone knows they shouldn't drive on the hard shoulder, but now smart motorways have changed that with the dynamic hard shoulder ones. So we think the red X should be permanently displayed, so people are never, you know, when the hard shoulder's the hard shoulder, so then there is no doubt as to whether you should be on it or not.
I've got to confess, Simon, that I can't imagine what would be going through my mind if I break down, end up in a live lane of traffic, praying that the people behind me spot me before some technology spots me and a mile or so back warns them that I've broken down. But surely the terror is in the immediate breakdown area where you've got to get yourself out of the vehicle.
Absolutely, it's you know, it would be completely frightening. My colleague, in fact, witnessed a vehicle coming to a halt directly in front of him, and it was terrifying both for him and no doubt for them.
Yeah,
it is absolutely, you know, terrible. This is why we think the emergency refuge areas need to be closer together, and the government have committed to that. But they, of course, carried on rolling out schemes at the spec with you know, up to a mile and a half apart. So they've paused the any kind of new construction. I think the schemes are still going on. There's a big scheme being built on the M4 now. If anyone's driven down the M4 recently, there's about 20 miles of works going on, converting that into an all-lane running smart motorway, which has emergency refuge areas every 1.5 miles. Which, you know, if you're in a breakdown situation, what chance do you have? You'll be very lucky to actually reach one of those. And, of course, more and more electric vehicles are coming onto the roads. And anyone who's driven an electric vehicle or owns one will know that they don't coast.
Yes.
You know, a normal car will not, you know, if you've ever played Skeletrics in your past, you'll know that when you take your finger off the trigger of the...
It stops.
Yeah. And that's generally what happens with an electric vehicle. So good luck to you if you're going to, you know, if you need to get into an emergency refuge area 1.5 miles apart.
Absolutely. And the advice currently is, okay, get out of the vehicle from the left-hand seat and climb over the safety barrier. Really?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people who physically won't be able to, you know, have disabilities which won't allow them to get out of the vehicle. And if you can't get to a refuge area, you might be parking right next to the barrier. Therefore, the door wouldn't open. You're left with a window.
Yeah.
And, you know, very few people are going to be able to do that, I've got to say. So it is very, very scary. There are sometimes tiny inlets in the barrier which might help you, but at the end of the day you're still going to be partially parked in the live running lane, which is why we've been so vocal against all lane running smart motorways.
And in terms of safety then, your only safe route is to find one of these ERAs, emergency refuge areas, and I'm assuming they are kind of lay-bys, are they, with telephones in them?
Yes, they have emergency roadside telephones. We kind of tend to shy away from calling them lay-bys. In fact, we did have been various instances with people getting confused, particularly drivers from the continent, about the term emergency refuge area. So recently they've been rebranded as SOS areas, and they've been painted orange to symbolise that they are an emergency area. But I think it was felt that SOS would be more universally understood by drivers from all over the world.
I mean, you as the RAC know better than anybody that there's pretty few breakdowns that will allow you to toddle along for 1.5 miles before you can stop the car safely. Certainly in my instances, when mine goes, it goes, and that's the end of it.
That's right, and that's why these things are so scary. That's why we need emergency refuge areas much closer together. That's why we need this stopped vehicle detection technology. We need just somehow improve safety. And there has been a commitment to do that, but it's going to take up to 3 years to put the stopped vehicle technology into place. And, you know, there's a chance, and which I think we as an organisation are very fearful of having all-lane running smart motorways as the de facto standard.
Yeah.
When, you know, you could potentially put a white line down all of those and give you a dynamic hard shoulder at least, and then if that didn't work, you can revert to a permanent hard shoulder.
Yes.
But I think all-lane running would be, it's just so scary. There's also some instances where I said the gantries have got further apart with the speed signs on them and the lane closure signs, but they've also in some instances have used much smaller verge-mounted signs, which, you know, are not so obvious which lane is closed because it's only on the side as opposed to directly over each lane.
Yeah. Nothing you have said is in any way positive. What actually is the positive part of smart motorways?
Well, what they've done, of course, is this was the reason they came into being in the first place, is the cheapest way to add extra capacity to the British, to the UK, or sorry, the England motorway network, without building a fourth running lane.
Okay.
So, it's obviously the kind of best of a bad job in many ways, but we always felt that the dynamic hard shoulder was a more sensible way because it did give you the hard shoulder at quieter times of the day. Even on the M25, if it was to be there isn't a dynamic hard shoulder on the M25. It's only all-lane running.
Yeah.
Even at night, you know, after perhaps 9 or 10 o'clock at night until maybe 5, 6 a.m., you still have a hard shoulder, which would be extremely beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're very opposed to the all-lane running thing being rolled out as the and just, you know, converting lots of dynamic hard shoulders into all-lane running. I think would be a definite retrospective step and would probably put lives at risk.
The best, then, that they're offering is this stationary vehicle detection thing. It can detect stationary vehicles 16 minutes quicker than a camera-based system, which is fine, but there's still a finite time, isn't there, where you're still going to be in extreme danger with cars hammering up behind you the second you stop.
Yeah. But at least with this technology, the red X would appear, and right. then you'll rely then on people obeying the red X. And obviously with enforcement, I think you would get good behavioural change then. I think generally the red X is pretty well adhered to, but some people will drive under it obliviously or, you know, by mistake. Hopefully not too many people do it deliberately. Because lives are being put at risk.
I'd like to know, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, Simon, of these deaths, of which there have been a lot over the last year, 38 people have been killed on smart motorways in the last 5 years. I'd be interested to know how many of those deaths were from people who were hit pretty immediately that they pulled over because people just had no clue why this car's just stopped in front of them, or people who disobeyed the red X.
Yes, I think there's a lot of... there isn't very much clarity around the details around smart motorway accidents and deaths. Obviously, people die on roads, motorways as well. Motorways are statistically our safest roads.
Yeah.
Everyone's obviously going in the same direction, but obviously when accidents happen, they tend to be worse due to the speeds involved.
Yeah.
But motorways are our safest roads.
Yeah.
So anything that kind of compromises that, but accidents would have taken place on those stretches of motorway, even had they been regular motorways, of course. So it's hard to know at the moment. I don't think there's much clarity around as to whether they're actually worse. Because, you know, there may have been an element of luck here in that we haven't had the most horrendous crashes, but certainly people have lost their lives on smart motorways, and maybe they wouldn't have done on conventional motorways with three lanes and a hard shoulder.
So Grant Shapps is on the case, in inverted commas, but not good enough, in your view. What would you say, with a blank sheet of paper, that he ought to be doing right now?
The stop vehicle detection technology is essential. They said it will take 3 years. I think this is principally because it's the kind of product of one company, as far as we're aware. So I would like to think there must be a way of helping, you know, that company be able to deliver it far more quickly across the whole motorway network.
Yeah.
There's also other technology in the road which determines the signs and the speed limit signs, something called MIDAS, Motorway Incident Detection Automatic Signaling. So you see induction loops, kind of lines in the tarmac, which sense through magnetic technology the speed of cars going over, and that sets the speed signs. So they happen automatically. Obviously, the stop vehicle detection needs to be automatic as well to give you that extra element of safety.
Very, very interesting. Well, so in terms of the all lanes running smart motorways, you might get to your destination 5 minutes quicker, but God forbid you if you break down.
Yes, I think if the message, you know, if anyone takes away any message from today, that we, you know, all lane running is definitely, in our opinion, not as safe. I think it stands to reason, just from a common sense point of view, if you have traffic running in every lane and emergency refuge areas, SOS areas, every mile and a half, then you don't stand too much chance of reaching one should you have a problem.
Interestingly, here in Spain, I noticed that they're very good at tailgating. In other words, that's not a good thing. They're right up your backside. And it always struck me that there ought to be some kind of technology that detected people who are not the required distance behind the vehicle in front. A lot of these problems would then disappear, wouldn't they?
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, tailgating is one of the worst things you can do as a driver. I find it particularly disturbing when someone does it to me.
Andy, I'm me.
Of course, anyone who drives a somewhat newer car may well have noticed that there's a sensor now in the car which kind of gives a collision alert. If you get too close, it starts to warn you as well, which is another good thing. I think there are several things we could also learn from the continent as well, certainly from France. I can't remember whether it's in Spain as well, but obviously in France, you have a different speed limit when you have wet weather. Is that the same in Spain?
I'm not quite sure people are that interested. They just carry on, to be honest with you.
No, obviously, you have the speed limit reduces in Spain when it rains, in France when it rains. And I think that's something we should potentially look at here as well, because obviously the danger of surface water and speed. Not a good combination.
No. Well, a fascinating subject. People are still dying on smart motorways. There's no doubt about that. And we thank you for bringing it to our attention. Simon Williams, the Media Relations Manager of the RAC. Appreciate your time today, Simon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Thank you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.